Because we treasure the Word of God, let's stand as I read this in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. All right, in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so they gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, that there is unction from the Holy Ghost in this house to preach your word, to teach your word, and to provide, God, instruction for your people. I thank you, Lord, that as I speak, you speak to me. And as I speak, Lord, you speak through me. Lord, change us because we've come into contact with your living word, the powerful seed of the word of God that never returns void, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, that was not my original intent to read that scripture.
All right.
But because we are led of the Holy Ghost, I had a whole different one that we'll get to because it's in James. But I just want you to know God's speaking. He's speaking. If we'll listen, he's always speaking. And so this morning I want to talk to you about living faith. Living faith. We're a faith people. You know, sometimes people would call our church, our kind of church, a faith church. I don't always like that name because sometimes it has a negative connotation to what people think a faith church is. And so I like to think that we're faith people. We're a faith people. And so I'd like to think of us that way. And that doesn't mean that I am in any way, shape, or form ashamed of our roots. I'm not. But I just want people to know that we're a faith people. That means we believe. That means we believe. And some have said, "Well, you're the name it, claim it people." Listen, when you got saved, you named Jesus. You claimed him as your Savior. You are a name it, claim it person. So now we're not talking about being crazy and ostentatious and over the top and doing silly things with money. We're not talking about that. We're talking about getting the gospel out and changing people's lives and destinies so they don't end up in hell. All right? And that's really the bottom line. And if you really talk to any quote-unquote faith preacher that you've heard bad things about online or you Googled their name, I guarantee you that if you really sat them down and listened and were in their church or listened to the context in which they were preaching the Word of God, most of them that I know are going to have the kingdom first. They are going to give more to missions than you could even imagine. They are going to sow constantly. And you say, "Yeah, but they got this and they got that and they're always talking about this and prosperity." Let me tell you something. God wants his people to prosper.
Yes.
Because he's not looking for a poor church to try to preach the gospel. It takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to build a church. It takes money to refit a building that already exists. It's not free to keep the lights on in this building. I know for a fact, because we used to pay the light bills in this space right here. And it might blow your mind to know that the light bill in this space sometimes was thousands of dollars. Thousands, when we were just here and it was us. So I want you to know that we are a faith people. That means we believe God for the impossible. And we see the impossible. And so when we start speaking things of faith about what we're seeing for our future as a church, we're speaking it because we're seeing it. We're seeing it. And you say, well, that sounds New Age. Let me tell you something. God calls those things which be not as though they are. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. I want to talk to you today in this particular series on living faith. Living faith. And the reason why I want you to know that it's living faith is because living faith is different than dead faith. And James tells us the difference. But we started off in Acts 3, and I haven't forgotten. So you're there in Acts 3.
Praise God.
Okay. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Amen. I want to just, I know that some of you might be looking at your watch and say, oh no, he's starting and it's 11:45. I just want you to know something.
It's okay. It's all right. Amen.
God's at work when you don't see him. And he orchestrates things. And this bubbled up in my heart for Acts chapter 3. And I'm seeing this story unfold. Okay? This story of faith. This is a story of faith. This is amazing. And I think sometimes we look at this story and we remove ourselves. And we say, oh, that could never happen to us. Or, wow, that's pretty amazing. I want you to know that it not only can happen to you, but God wills it to happen to you.
Wow, praise God. Praise God.
You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a living faith. A living faith is something that God is desperately wanting his people to rise up to. A living faith that has a three-part dynamic to it. Three parts to a living faith. Now, Reverend Ennis Jackson did it over the top, hit it out of the park last week, and set it up. And that how do we get faith, and the source of our faith has to come from the Word of God. Has to come from the Word of God. So if you're not in the Word, you're not going to be a person of great faith. All right? But that's only part of what I want to share with you. If we're going to be living faith, then there's really a relationship, first of all, with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. That coupled with his living word, now you have two parts, right? And his people. Ooh, relationship with his people. Now, the reason why I brought you to Acts chapter 3 is that the Holy Ghost quickened me and said, Peter and John were opposites. They had to get along. They had to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. They spent time with the Master together. And you can even see that there was almost this competitiveness between the two of them. Peter being the brash fisherman and John being the one that Jesus loved. Right? You see it that when the empty tomb, one of them runs ahead and then brags about it.
That's right.
He's faster. Right? Right? He's like, oh, yeah. And he ran ahead faster. Yeah. So there was this tension, but yet at the same time, God used them together.
Yes.
Which has to do with relationship in the body. Now, how do we tap into the greater one, the power on the inside? The power on the inside, the greater one, who lives on the inside. 1 John 4:4. Let's go there real quickly. Hallelujah. The greater one. The greater one. Now, you and I have the greater one on the inside, right? So, 1 John 4, let's go ahead and pick up in verse 1. We're going to get to verse 4. But 1 John 4:4 tells us something. Now, we see this great, this amazing story of this man who was lame, who was laid there daily at the gate. But 1 John 4:4 gives us a clue as to how God was able to raise him up. And we see in 1 John 4:1, thank God for the Holy Ghost. 1 John 4, and beloved, he says this. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He that's in you. He that's in you. And as I was meditating on that, the greater one lives on the inside. If you just meditate on that, we could probably say amen right now. You meditate on that all week long. The greater one's on the inside. The greater one's on the inside. The greater one. Every problem that comes your way in your household, every problem that comes to you at your school or at your work or wherever you are, the greater one lives on the inside of me. Oh, I've got something on the inside. See, the Holy Ghost has orchestrated this service. And though we're here, and though we don't have a full house today, maybe you're watching online, I encourage you, share this with somebody. This is going to help somebody. The greater one on the inside wants to be released into your problems. That's a living faith. A living faith that says, I have an answer. I have an answer to what's going on. You say, but Pastor, that just sounds so presumptuous. That sounds arrogant. Listen, faith people get called a lot of things, and one of them is they sound arrogant. You know what it is? They're confident in God. Because what did I say? I said, faith, living faith, has three parts to it. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A relationship with his word. A relationship with his people. You want great faith? Check yourself on all three of those things. You want to have living faith? Check yourself on those three things. Do you have a great relationship? Oh, yes, it's just me and Jesus, me and Jesus. Let me tell you something. Me and Jesus is great. That's the starting point. Yes, amen. We want you to be you and Jesus. But Jesus has a body on planet Earth. And you have a place in the body. And there is a place to plug in. And the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, that, you know, one part can't say to the other part, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. We separate ourselves. Why? Because, well, it's just more comfortable that way. All right? It's more comfortable that way. But I want to tell you, if you want to really, really live in a different realm of living faith, then the three parts that I'm giving you right now will help you. Reverend Ennis talked about the power of the word. He talked about how that produces faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by by continuing in the Word, continuing in the Word. It's it's a constant action. It's not a, oh, I read that verse before. No, you might need to read it again and again and again and again. Yes. There are times, and I'm in a season right now where, and I don't know if it just kind of spawned from our gospel reading. I don't know if it was just kind of like that revisiting, go back to the Word, go back to the Word, that when we hear something and then we read it again, we're like, I didn't know that was in there.
Come on. Yeah.
I never saw that before.
Lord.
I never saw the fact that the greater one on the inside was released through Peter and John to see the man raised up.
Oh, yes.
And it took both of them, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It took both of them. So, something. You have a part to play. Every one of us. So maybe you don't get up here on Sunday, and maybe you can't bring like a line upon line, you know, awesome teaching like Reverend Ennis or Pastor Christine. Both of them are like, they're teachers.
Amen.
Right? They're teachers. I feel like I'm going to school. Right? Because they know how to teach. That's their gifting.
Amen.
That's what God endowed them and gave them to this body for. So what I'm trying to tell you is this, that when we understand that the greater one needs to be released, then things happen. Finances are released. Wisdom is made manifest. Miracles happen. Open doors happen, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens when people are engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ, where he's involved in their life. It's when they put the Word as a priority in their life. It's when they put God's people as a priority in their life. That I'm connected. I'm intricately connected to another believer of like precious faith. When I'm intricately connected to somebody else, then I get to work out my salvation in fear and trembling, because my salvation, I don't work to get God to love me, but if I want to have the victory of a living faith and to really see myself grow and mature in God, it takes rubbing shoulders with people. Right? And this is good. It's not always fun. It's not always fun. Right? Because you like you. And not everybody's like you. Right? And if you've been married for any length of time, you know that. Right? And if you've had a relationship, if you've been an adult child, if you've had a friend, if you've had an aunt and an uncle or whatever, you know, I've told you, I had the uncle that you just didn't want to be in public with him. But he's my uncle. You don't choose your family. Right? See, but you love your family. And so when you understand these things and you say, man, I'm just gonna suck it up, buttercup. And I'm gonna do what God tells me to do. And then I'll tell you, God has so much in store for you. The greater one, the greater one overcomes the obstacles. The greater one will, if you have a relationship with the Holy Ghost on the inside, he's going to stop you and tell you to do things. If you have a sensitivity, and see, a sensitivity that says, I need to pick up the phone and call this person. I need to write this card. There have been times when I have called one of my best friends. You met him, Nick Beret. Nick Beret, he and I have been friends since, really good friends since high school, but friends and technically connected since we were 5 years old. And sometimes God will just have me pick up the phone and call him. He might not pick up. And I'll leave a voicemail. He'll call me back and he'll say, Doug Mitchell, how did you know? I didn't know. The Holy Ghost, the greater one on the inside, knew. See, he'll do the same to me. One day, not too long ago, about 2 months ago, I get this phone, this message on my phone. I couldn't answer it. I listened to it, and that particular day, man, I'll tell you, it felt like the enemy was just throwing some darts my way. I'm not immune.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
I'm a believer. I'm a faith person, faith people, like you. I, as my grandfather used to say, I put my pants on one leg at a time. You ever heard that phrase, right? So, you know, I don't just appear, you know, with a glow around me. Ask my wife, do I glow?
Honey, you're always glowing.
I'm always glowing, she says. So, and what happens is that we know that sometimes we go through difficulties. And so I was having one of those days. You ever had one? I was having one of those days, and I was getting really bogged down, and the enemy was like beating me up in my head, beating me up. Oh, you should have, you could have, you didn't. Why didn't you? All right? The enemy just uses your own self to do that.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden, I look at this voicemail, and the voicemail says, Doug Mitchell, I want you to know you are awesome.
Praise God.
And God loves you so much. And I thought, how did he know? Right? Why? Because the greater one on the inside, he allowed the greater one to lead and guide him. If you will do the same, you say, well, that's nice for you. But wait a second. That's for everyone. God's design is that we wouldn't just have Jesus and the 12 apostles going out and doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, was so that the church, all of us, the called out ones, have the greater one on the inside, and we are in relationship with each other, and we get the living Word of God bubbling up, and faith starts rising up in our heart. And when faith rises up, things happen. Things happen. And so as I was preparing for this particular series, I was getting excited because I said, Lord, it's been a while since I've just really just like, we're just going to hone in on faith for a little while. And I know we teach on faith a lot, but yet at the same time, sometimes not enough. Okay. You say, why? Well, because I guess we don't always get it. We need to hear it again, and we need to hear it again, and we need to hear it again, and we need to hear it again. So I want you to now turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 25. This was going to be my original opening verse, but I wanted to get your attention on that Acts chapter 3 passage of Peter and John. But in James 1:25, it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I believe God's calling every one of us to get into this, that we would be blessed in the work. Now, we're not saved by works. We know that. Ephesians tells us that. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're not saved by works, right? But we're saved through grace, right? By faith through grace. So, but when we're looking at this, as my mentor in heaven, who's now in heaven, Dr. Horace Ward, used to say, we are not saved by works, but we're saved unto works. Amen. That means God has some things for you to do, some things for me to do. That is the living a faith life. That is coming up against those things that are impossible. But I think sometimes we get a little bit lazy when it comes to faith. We get a little lazy. Kenneth E. Hagin used to say this. He said, faith gives action to the power. How many of you ever remember him saying that? Right? He would say, faith gives action to the power. Much like if you go over to the wall and you turn on a light switch, faith gives action to the power. You turn on the light switch. You turn on the light switch. And what happens? There's light. The power is going through the building. But unless you walk over and turn on the faith switch, you don't have access to that power.
That's right.
And so what happens is a lot of us are walking through our work. We're walking through whatever scenario we're in. We might be retired. We're walking through the grocery store. We're walking through doing the mundane things of life. Right? And we're not conscious of the power. And we wonder why we're not seeing all these amazing miracles. We wonder why we're not seeing, people healed, like dramatically healed. Dramatically healed. Why aren't we seeing it? Because we haven't turned on the light switch.
Wow.
Living faith says, wait a second, the greater one's on the inside of me. I've got power running through me. This last Sunday when I was ministering up in Schenectady, thank you for praying for me at Jay and Pam Stillinger's church, Abounding Grace Christian Church. A young lady, about 19 years old, came up to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the hunger that was in her, we have a generation right now. We have a generation right now. They need to know that the power is real. That it's not just a bunch of charismatic gymnastics. They need to know it's real. They need to know that it's real, that it can free them from depression. They need to know that it's real, that it will take anxiety out of their life. They need to know that it's real and that the power of God is available to them, not just the professional preacher. But to them, that if they're at Starbucks and the Holy Ghost starts to move on them, if you talk to anybody who's lived the charismatic renewal in Westchester County, they'll tell you that at the diner, at the grocery store, at the wherever they found themselves, there were people talking about God. They were talking about the things of God. They were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were talking about, I went to a meeting over here. I went to a meeting over there. And if you haven't had a chance, talk to some of those that lived through that. And they'll tell you the power of God is available. Faith gives action to the power. Then the Holy Spirit said this to me. And this one was convicting. He said, doubt gives manifestation to inaction and procrastination. Doubt gives manifestation to inaction and procrastination. When God's dealing with you to do something, and you don't do it, and you don't do it, and you don't do it, and He's dealing with you. And you don't do it. What is that? That's doubt. Well, where's the breakdown? Let's go back to the three parts. The three parts are a relationship with God, a relationship with His Word, and a relationship with His people. So look inside for a moment and check yourself. Relationship with God, relationship with His Word, relationship with His people. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. Because if you see this in your life, there sometimes is a faith frustration. So today is not a bad news message. It's a good news message because you can overcome every situation by just going back to the basics. And you can have a living faith that taps into the greater one on the inside. Gold and silver have I none. But what I have, I give you.
Amen.
But what I have, I give you. What do I have? I got the Holy Ghost. What I have, I give you. What I have will change you. What I have will set you free. What I have will introduce you to a love that you have never known. What I have, all I have to do is turn the switch of faith on. So if faith gives action to the power and doubt gives manifestation to inaction and procrastination, then I'm like, okay, God, well, what's the answer? He says, get consistently in the Word. Get consistently in the Word. Stay consistently in the Word and in prayer. So if you have not been to Fresh Oil, if you have not had a chance to really learn to pray, get around some people who know how to pray. So you can hear the voice of God. So you can be sensitive. So you can check out that inclination that you have in an atmosphere of faith, in an atmosphere of love, in an atmosphere with His people, right? Those three parts. See, that's how we can overcome doubt and unbelief. Where there's doubt and unbelief, then we don't have the miracles. Where there's doubt and unbelief, we don't have the breakthroughs. Where there's doubt and unbelief, you say, but I've been confessing the scriptures. But have you checked your love walk? Well, what about your prayer life? You can confess scriptures 80,000 times. That may not change the situation if you're not connected. If you're not connected, the Word will become a dead faith. Now, we're going to look at that and then I'm going to close. James chapter 1. James, obviously, he was the leader of the Jerusalem church. He was the half-brother of Jesus. And in chapters 1 through 3, just going to give you highlights. Next week we'll get a little more in depth. In chapters 1 through 3, he talks about that if you lack wisdom, you got to come to God, and Reverend Ennis mentioned this, you have to come to God and you have to believe that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. You've got to come to God, and that's, you've got to look at that, and that's Hebrews 11, sorry, the reference on that, Hebrews 11, but you have to come to God. But then in James chapter 1, he says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Right? For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. That sounds harsh. That's harsh. That if you're back and forth, back and forth. But then he tells us in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And in the context of James chapter 1, 2, and 3, it has to do with relationship, how you treat the rich man who comes through your doors and how you treat the poor man, how you treat one another, what causes fights and quarrels among you. He tells us, James chapter 1 through 3, if we really want strong faith, then the word of God has to be able to change us. James 1:25, this was going to be my opening verse. Instead, we went to Acts chapter 3, because this is the way the Holy Ghost is leading me today. And he says this, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
This one.
That means
me.
Me. But it's a continuing, it's a continuing, it's a continuing. And in my Bible, I wrote down from several years ago when I preached on this, I wrote down that the Word of God reflects like a mirror. And if you have a mirror, it's a whole lot better to find out if you have food stuck in your teeth rather than somebody telling you. How many know that? So it's much better to let the Word of God correct you and go, ooh, you got to adjust that, Doug. Than letting someone else come to me and say, brother, You got to adjust that, Doug. You got to get that right. You hear me? You let the word do the correcting. See, the word will reflect. The word will not just reflect. The word will correct. And the word will direct. So the word will reflect. The word will correct. And the word will direct. Thy word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Ooh, you don't know what to do next? Thy word. Thy word. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Thy word. See, his living word produces faith. Romans 10:17 produces faith in us as we continue in the word. I want to ask you a question. Do you have faith that lives, or do you have faith that's dead? If we're honest, all of us can say, can use a little self-examination when it comes to faith and the congruence or lack of congruence in our life. What do I mean by that? It's called, do you walk your talk? See, we can confess all day long and still in our heart have it all wrong. We just sound like parrots. Well, you've heard Pastor Christine and I tell the story that, you know, we were at a church and everybody was getting houses. Everybody was getting a new house. It was easy for us to jump on that bandwagon and say, us too, we're next in line. And we were living in my mother-in-law's bedroom.
Not hers, but...
Well, her second bedroom. Thank you. This is why I need help, okay? God knew I needed a helper, so I need help. So, praise God. So,
she felt like it.
It was just a two-bedroom condo, and we lived in the spare bedroom. And yet, we didn't have faith
for a house.
We didn't even have faith for an apartment at that point. That's why we were in the spare bedroom. If we were honest, and we got to a point where we got honest. And we said, okay, Lord, now show us from your word. So it was, we reflected and we looked and we went, oh, we need to work on this. Okay, where do you want us to sow seed? What do you want us to do? We started looking at scriptures. We started looking at scriptures. And then we started putting action to the power. And that's how we ended up getting into our first property. Why? Because we put action to the power. We put action to the power. So this morning, the three parts, remember, it's a relationship with the word. If we're going to have living, active faith so that we can be like Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, we can release that. We can hear the still small prompting of the Holy Ghost who tells us to talk to that person. And don't ignore it. He doesn't like being ignored. He'll let you. He'll let you. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He'll let you. But if you want him to talk to you more and release that power more in your life, then you don't ignore him when he says, open your mouth. When he says, make that phone call, write that note. Get that situation right. Yeah. And when you do that, he's able to make breakthroughs to come. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I've simply just given what you gave me today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you're calling us to a higher level of faith, a higher level of living faith. That we would hear and that we would do what you tell us to do. And so, Father, right now, God, we choose to let your word reflect, your word correct, and your word to direct us by your Holy Ghost, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Thank you for this word. Help us to live it. Help me to live it. Help this church to come up. To come up. To match the vision that you're giving us. To come up. Whether it's a teenager, a child, somebody who's walked with you for years, that we all come up into these things. Father, thank you for being so gracious to us, to teach us. Lord, we've got the greater one that lives on the inside. What a gift, what a gift. But God, we don't always let that show. And so right now, I pray, God, if there is anybody under the sound of my voice or watching online who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or who has been away from God, walked their own way, has been ignoring what the Holy Spirit's telling them to do, Father, I pray right now that if there be anyone who needs to know Christ or anybody who's recommitting their life to Christ, Lord, that you would just get a hold of their heart right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you in this place, please lift up your hand and say, that's me. I need to get it right. I need to get it right. Is there anybody? You say, today, I need to get it right. Anybody at all? Thank you. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud. Whether you're coming back to God or whether you are coming to Him for the first time, let's pray. Father God, I come before you. Not with my own righteousness, but God, because of what Jesus has done, I come before you. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, that he paid the price for me. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or it was a recommitment, make sure you tell somebody. Let us know. Message us on Facebook, Messenger app. We'd like to help you, pray with you, maybe send you some material, help you in your walk with God. We invite you to be a part of this church, 10:45 Sunday mornings and also Wednesday evenings on Facebook Live. Let's stand our feet right now and let's have our sending out verse. We pray this and say this over our church believers because we are faith people, right? We believe. And it says this, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.